Good evening, friends. Let us get psychologically ready for something which was not there on our minds earlier. Last lecture was on a very soft subject about art and creativity. Today we shall take a look at a more fundamental issue of science or science and spirituality. Speaker is Dr. Kittu Reddy, all the way from Pondicherry Ashram, actually hails from the district of Anantapura in Andhra Pradesh. Family wise related to the former president of India. So he was taken to the Aurobindo Ashram when he was a boy of 5 only, and there ever since. He was educated right from the school stage to the post-graduation work in the ashram itself. His subjects of academic interest include a lot of things. Okay, of introducing Dr. Reddy. His subjects of academic interest include a lot of things, of which I should mention: mathematics, physics, Indian culture, political and social issues. He has been also closely associated with the Indian Armed Forces since 1993, of course in a very special capacity. He would instruct the forces on the deeper understanding of human psychology and its relationship to leadership. He has several publications. I would mention at least two. One is History of India, A New Approach, and the other one is Vision of United India, Problems and Solutions. So, Reddy, please, and please make the most of his presentation. We have a lot to learn from him.
Thank you, Professor. I would like this to be an interactive session, not at the end of my talk, but even during. If you have any questions to raise or any points which you think may please, because make it much more interesting. He has said, I've been asked to speak on Hindu and religion and spirituality. I will add one more term, which he has added now. Reason, religion and spirituality. I will start with a historical background, because that is very important to understand. You look at the history of mankind, right from the most ancient times, till the 16th century in Europe, till the events of the 16th century in Europe, religion and faith have always dominated the whole of mankind, whether it was ancient India or ancient Egypt or ancient China. Decision had to be taken. It was faith that decided. Reason had a place. Ancient Greece certainly had a fair amount of reason. In India also reason was there. But faith was the dominating factor. Then in the 16th century, two very crucial events, Renaissance and the Reformation, tables were turned absolutely upside down in Europe. I will not go into the reasons for this Renaissance and Reformation. What happened as a result of these two events was religion was put in the corner of the soul, as Aurobindo puts it. Reason became the sovereign. Everything had to be decided by reason. Faith and religion were considered superstition, outdated, had no more any place. Whether we like it or not, this dominance of reason made Europe and the Western world supremely powerful. Look at the last 300 years. It is the Western world that has been dominating us. They have no spirituality, or they have not too much spirituality. Spirituality is not a dominating factor, but reason in the form of science, technology, in all its aspects, they have conquered the whole world. Till only half a century back or a little more, all the colonies got their freedom. Now, this is a very crucial shift that has taken place. As a result of that, those two events which triggered off what we may call the intellectual revolution, right? The whole vision of the world was no more based on religion and faith mainly, but through the eyes of reason. You cannot pretend that they have not been successful. They have been tremendously successful. Inevitably, reason believed that it alone has the knowledge and is the highest source of the highest knowledge and it can solve all the problems of the world by reason and reason alone. This is a very crucial step that has taken place. In Europe, now things are slowly changing. The very fact that yoga and other things are entering into Europe and the Western world. But 18th, 19th, much of the 20th century, everything had to be decided by reason. Everything else was superior, stupid, backward, superstitious, etc. The rest of the world has also realized that if we do not develop reason, we cannot progress. In fact, in one of the letters of Sri Aurobindo in 1920 to the Varinda, he stated clearly that the problem of India is not lack of spirituality, it is lack of thinking capacity. We are suffering from a disease. He called it thought phobia. We accept everything without understanding anything. Right? Does that mean, therefore, reason is the supreme instrument? Is there not something higher than that? No, that is where I am going to come slowly to the main topic. Right? Now, in Indian culture, right from the beginning, believed in evolution. Evolution always means a gradual process. You do not jump to spirituality straight away. Go through a whole process, satisfying your life instincts, artha kama, governing yourself by reason to a very great extent, and then seeing the limitations of reason and going beyond to a higher knowledge where only you can get the true knowledge. This has been the firm belief of India right from the beginning. But then there was a period of decline, the life power declined, the thought power declined, the result was that spirituality also disappeared. It never disappeared, it always shot up now and then. In the 14th century, Tukaram, Guru, all these saints came up. And we thought that we'll be swamped by the Muslim. Please note, historically, that wherever the Muslims have come, that civilization has become Islam. Whether it is Egypt, whether it is Iraq, whether it is Iran, or anywhere in the world, only India has somehow survived. And the root cause is these spiritual people who came up, then came the British, and it seemed that we would disappear again. At that time, Ramakrishna, all these spiritual people came, and again the fire was lit. Now, we have developed the thinking power, but in the meanwhile, we have been so much westernized by the education that we have now almost denied our own spirituality, at least at a certain section of the people. The word secularism that has been brought in here, in our constitution, is one of the most disastrous things. Because it has almost killed that urge towards spirituality. We need not be taught secularism. Vedas, right from the most ancient days, were profoundly secular. In this sense, that they respected every religion, every approach to God, and gave India complete freedom. The true, deeper Hinduism. Jyota mot, tata pot. Right? Now we are saved because we don't have one God. We don't have one sacred book. We don't have one avatar. We don't have one path. There are millions of paths and each one is right in his own way. Therefore, the word is not tolerance. Tolerance is I am up there and I tolerate you. The word is understanding. Know that you have your own way, I have my own way, you have your own way. We are all right in our own way. And we will not impose ourselves on everybody else. Now, when reason became the dominant factor, and the world became Europeanized, or let us call it westernized, right? Sri Aurobindo writes in the last chapter of the Foundations of Human Culture, Indian Culture, have to Indianize first ourselves and ultimately the world. Now, let us see the origin of religion. All human beings, right from the most ancient times, a sense of helplessness faced with the forces of nature. Cyclone, drought, this, that, call for help. From whom? a vague feeling that there is a power somewhere. Sure, but you believe that when there is a forest fire, you pray. Pray to whom? This is the first inevitable starting point of religion. You will find that in religion, in the Gita they have mentioned it beautifully, first stage is, I need that power to fulfill my desires. The next stage is, when I am suffering, then I need that help, which is true for most human beings. As long as you are rich and if you get your desires, why bother about God? But when the crash, the stock market crashes, when your family, people die in your family, then you are helpless, then you say, God. Or third, higher stage, Vyasu. Now he is Jnani. Why is so many things happening in the world? How to explain this? That phenomenon is seeking for God. Fourth is Jigyasu, asks nothing, in contact with the Divine. That is beautifully exemplified by one story of Swami Vivekananda. When the Swami was not a Swami, he was a young man, Narendra, his father died. His father was rich, but he had given a lot of money, nothing came back, so his mother was in difficulty. He had already come in contact with Sri Ramakrishna. He came and said, Sir, please help me, I need. He said, very simple, go across, Kali Mandir is there, go and pray. So he went. When he came back, Ramakrishna asked him, for what did you pray? Lord, give me knowledge, give me sacrifice, give me purity. He said, fool, I told you to go and pray for your mother and you go and say, I want sacrifice, I want this, I want that. He sent him back a second time. Second time the same thing happened. Third time Ramakrishna went with Swamiji. Made him pray for that thing. Not that life became wonderful, but definitely it began to help. Now you see, this is the quality of man. Not when we are in trouble, all has to be fulfilled. These are all of us. Be very honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me, tell yourself. When do you think of God? If even God, if you believe in a higher power, you wouldn't have come here. Ramakrishna mission means that you believe in a higher power, right? Seek for that help, either to fulfill your desires, right? Ministers, their daughter, take their daughter to Tirupati and say, Lord, give me a husband who has got 150 crores of rupees so that we become a rich family. Right? So that is pure satisfaction of desires. Second stage is when one is in trouble. Right? You are likely to lose the election or you have lost the election. Then you pray for help. Right? Third one is for knowledge and fourth one is for the sheer love of God. Right? That is the final stage. The religion goes in this way. Why I am telling you this? Don't make fun of religion. Religion is the inevitable starting point. Let me tell you, all of us, all, we are also religious. When we are in trouble, then we think of mother. Or Shiva. See, it is very easy to make fun of religion, to scoff at religion. But all of us are religious. Since we are at that primary stage of consciousness, we need a scaffolding. This is the word that Sri Aurobindo has used. When you are building a house, you have stone the house and then lay the bricks. If you want to build the temple of God within yourself, you will need a scaffolding. I have no illusion that I'll go straight there. It is impossible. All of us, including myself in the ashram, when there are difficulties, or I go to the meditation hall, or I seek for something which mother has used, a carpet that mother is locked up in that carpet, you are in the true consciousness. You will see the presence everywhere in everything. But to reach there is far more than religion. You will have to move into spirituality. It's a very great. What are the scaffoldings? It is pujas. It is wearing a ring. It is carrying a blessing packet in your pocket. Carrying something, right? These are all very useful things. Every child in the ashram, when they go out in the holidays, the last thing they do before going into the car to go to Chennai is go to the Samadhi, take something and go. right? If you are a rationalist, as I had to deal with a rationalist, when you buy a new car, almost every Indian puts a photo of Ganesh, Shiva or Mother or Shivabinda or Ramakrishna or Vivekananda. One Englishman came and told him, "What is this nonsense? You tell him to go and learn his driving well and get his certificate, his license. That is much more important than putting a photo there." There is a truth in it, but there is a truth in that also. Because there are forces, there are powers which are beyond our control, which gradually bring these things. Even in difficulties, you are helped. Right? And it's very useful and very helpful. So the first stage of religion, inevitably starting with the externals. Not know how many people I can see around, not only here, anywhere, including the ashram, who have reached that stage where they don't need any external support. All of us need an external support. But when the external support becomes the main thing, you forget the inner thing. Everything starts going wrong. Give you one instance where somebody wanted to give money to the mother, got the money on the afternoon of Friday. Went to Narida and said that, "Please give it to mother today. Today is her birthday. I would like her to be given it tomorrow." So he went the next day and told mother that this man wanted it to be given on your birthday. Mother says, "What difference does it make? If you give it 22nd instead of February 21st, give it in the form of a check or in the form of a cash. What is inside is much more important than the show of outside." Once one starts concentrating on the externals and forgetting the internals, you are right in the midst of religion. This is the first thing that you must remember. We need externals, we need symbols, we need all these things. But if they become the more important thing and the inner touch is lost, you have missed everything. That's why in the human cycle, in the last chapter, a spiritual symbol is a meaningless ticket unless it is learned to live from within. A spiritual type has no value unless you are living it from within. A spiritual convention has no purpose unless you are living it from within. But you see, everywhere we start with puja, or we start with this, or we start with good. It is very good. But if you become a slave of that, you can forget spirituality. This is the first thing that you must understand. But it is the inevitable starting point. We gradually evolve out of this, start going from the outside to the inside. Little by little, the inside becomes so important that the outside loses its importance, except as a manifestation of the inside. Don't reject life. You express through life, and therefore these outward formulas, this outward puja, these outward things are extremely important. Mother was very conscious of this. She made it a rule not to have a spiritual rule. Everybody must go to the samadhi at 6 o'clock, must meditate at this time. Nothing of the kind. You are left free. You go when you feel inside. I remember one lady from Kazakhstan came to me. She came to the ashram, very fine person, real spiritual seeker. Go to any other ashram in India. 4 o'clock morning, you have to get up. Meditation, 6:30. Everything is fixed from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock. No freedom whatsoever. So you have mechanized spirituality. The moment you mechanize spirituality, the moment you mechanize anything, you kill the soul of that thing. Right? One of the biggest dangers of religion. But reason takes a superior pose that we alone understand, and religion belongs to the ignorant and stupid. Right? Another very, very serious mistake. This arrogance of reason, when it thinks that it can grasp everything, right, is an extremely dangerous thing. We are seeing that phenomenon very actively in the modern times, right? And that is something which you must be very careful about. Reason has a place, but it cannot replace even religion, because faith, even in the ordinary villager, even in the ordinary soldier, is a very powerful factor. Sometimes it is obscure, sometimes it is dark, sometimes it is crude. Not to eliminate it by reason, but to raise it. And reason cannot raise it. Only somebody who has a touch of spirituality can raise it up. I tell you from my own example, I've seen it in my own eyes. The army, all these Indian soldiers, they are literate, they pass class 10, but they are not highly educated. They are ready to give their lives for the country. I asked one chap from Kumaoni. He said, "Sahab, at 2 o'clock in the morning when they wake us up and say the militants have come, you have to go now immediately, I don't worry about my brushing my teeth. I go straight to Mother Durga, offer my life to her. Then I go and I am ready to offer my life. I am prepared to go right till the very end." Right? Will you make fun of this? Is it a joke to give up one's life because Mother Durga is calling you? You see, when reason takes up that superior, arrogant attitude, as Sri Aurobindo calls it, it is one of those stupidities which comes as a result of arrogance, right? And secondly, he says it is like a foreigner who doesn't understand a certain language comes to that country and has to unlearn a lot before he can hope to learn, right? So, this is very important to understand, that reason has an extremely important place. But even reason cannot help religion, except probably in eliminating some negative things. And unfortunately, all over the world, and very much in India also, elements in religion which are very crude, like when a child is born in certain areas, they bury him below the soil, and after 6 months. I remember a few decades back, very really speaking, Satyajit Roy made a film. I forgot the name of the film, but the water that was used for cleaning the idol come out, and all the devotees would go and drink it, and it was very dirty. He got it analyzed. It was full of cholera and something else, right? See now, what is Shastri is trying to say? If you get down to the essence, he is trying to say that if you are being rational and seeing that this water is very dirty, right, it is better to protect yourself by being healthy. There is a great truth in it. But it is also a fact, Mother has mentioned, that she has seen villagers going into a pond, they have no source of water, which is full of dirt, they just clean up and drink up. They have so much faith, nothing happens to them. We civilized, cultured people, all, you know, the moment we drink that, next day we have cholera and TB also. So you see, it is very important that faith plays a tremendous role, and it is not something that we should make fun of. So there has to be a fine mix of reason and faith. That's why if you go to the nursing home, as all of you, many of you have gone, it is finally faith that cures. Medicine is simply an instrumentation. I am telling you from experience. I worked in a farm called Lake Estate. And all these people would have some problem. First thing that these servants will come and ask you, "Sir, give us injection. Usi, injection." Very trick. We got distilled water and injected distilled water. And they got cured. Because they had faith, right? So faith has a place. Faith sometimes needs to be questioned also, and that is where reason comes in. But reason can never be the highest instrument of knowledge. Reason is a machine, is an instrument, which only divides, not unite. Because its method of functioning is observation, classification, analysis, and conclusion. It works 100% when you are dealing with matter, where the laws are fixed and rigid. There is no variation in. But the moment consciousness comes in evidently, like in life and in mind, human beings, and above, it stops working. Therefore, reason always catches one side of the truth, that's the other side of the truth. And that is the main reason why today there are such huge, huge political problems. Capitalism versus communism. Freedom versus equality. If there is freedom, there is no equality. If you want to bring equality, you have to remove freedom. So, is there an instrument higher than that which can harmonize? India has said yes. India has proved it, right, in the lives of all these very great men. So there is no one ethical formula which solves all problems. And that is why there is a beautiful sentence of Sri Aurobindo. He writes, the capital period of my development was, when I could see that through the mind, I caught one aspect of the truth. In a few days, with the same mind, I caught the opposite aspect of the truth. So now what was right, this or this? He says, in one moment, the prestige of the intellect was gone. Intellect is not an instrument of knowledge. It is giving you half the knowledge. Like the six blind men and the elephant. One says it is like a pillar, one man says it is like a rope, another man says it is like a fan. All are right and nobody is right. Then the question comes, and he has raised it up beautifully in the human cycle. Is it possible to get a source of knowledge? Is above the reason or are we doomed? Only half knowledge. That is where I decided that I must get that higher source. He started moving toward that. He got it. Right. All his works that have been written after 1908. Therefore, it's very important to understand that reason is an extremely important instrument. Don't give it up. As Mother says, if you give it up, you will become one of those half-mad people of whom there are too many people in the world. But don't make reason the supreme instrument. Alone, and that alone can do it. Right. So, use your reason, govern your life by reason, open yourself to a higher power. How do I open myself to a higher power? Sri Aurobindo gives beautiful. Enlarging your mind. Learn to look at things from every point of view. Purification of the being. Because if you are impure, your mind will get distorted. If you are in love with something, you will automatically go in the wrong way. The mind itself becomes an instrument of the vital or the physical. So enlargement, purification, and openness to that higher light. That is the beginning of spirituality. Religion gradually evolves, moves from by little, one starts pushing the external, then one moves to the higher. There one enters into spirituality. Another word for spirituality is yoga. Yoga means union. Union of consciousness with the inner consciousness. Religion is a half an hour affair. Start in the morning, you do your puja, you go to any shop, they all do their puja, and 1 hour after that, they are cutting your throat. They are cheating and doing everything that is wrong. Spirituality is a 24-hour affair. Morning to evening, day and night, you are offering all your activities to the higher within you. Right? So first step is to discover that highest consciousness. Second step is, in the process, offer all one's activities to that higher consciousness. If you have got hold of that higher consciousness, then let it impinge and start changing the lower nature. It's a long process. It happens not, as Sri Aurobindo says, in millions of lives. That is why the story, theory of rebirth, you come back and you come back and you come back and you continue from where you left off, right? The soul comes back, not the body and the life and the mind. So, true religion is always spirituality. Don't make fun of religion. And never disturb somebody's faith. Never. If somebody has faith in something, you can replace it by something higher, do it. If you can't, let him find out by himself. Right? So, all this superior arrogance of the mind that we alone understand, is one of those stupid idiocies, right, which unfortunately educated India has taken up. Educated India today is the biggest enemy of India. although they have got certain qualities, which are extremely good in technology and other developments, they have completely closed the door to this higher faculty called spirituality. Spirituality does not mean giving up of reason. It only means enhancing reason to a higher power, to a higher level. It is extremely crucial. I'll give you also four other reasons why religion can never be the governing power of life. Because if you look at the history of mankind and the history of religion, one tendency has been to concentrate on the externals and forget the internals. India is a very good example of that. There are many things where we have forgotten the inner meaning and only stressing on the outer meaning. Caste. It has become a shame. It has become a blot on India. Caste in its origin was such a beautiful thing. It was based not on birth, but on natural temperament. Everybody is not meant to join the army. Everybody cannot be a teacher. Everybody cannot be a businessman. So according to your nature, and they created a system by which through all these you could arrive at a divine. The Kshatriya arrived at a divine, the Brahmin arrived as the Shudra. So there was no superiority, inferiority. Once it became birth, then that arrogance began to come in. And now it has become a blot and a shame. Right? It has moved completely. We can't go back. We can go back, might be after it is removed. So there are things like that, external things which need to be changed. That is the first defect of religion. Second defect of religion is, often, not always, tends to be a killjoy religion. Take the world. Keep away from everything. Don't touch money. Don't have a family. Don't have this. Don't have that. Life has to be lived in full. If religion has to be a guide, it must be a guide even there. It must take you to those higher things. Naturally, people reject religion. And that is one of the main reasons why the Renaissance and the Reformation took place. Because Christianity suppressed life, Christianity suppressed the intellect. Bolt, life flowered out, shot out completely, and the mind also shot out. They made tremendous progress, and they are still dominating the world. But as Shivananda says, once India truly wakens up to its spirituality, push, and they can really lead the world. But then we have to be genuinely spiritual, not pseudo-spiritual as we are now. We are neither here nor there. Right? This has to become the essence of India. Third thing is that you reject life. All salvation is up there. If salvation is up there, then what is this world for? We have to change this world. This world also has to become something which is very, very important. That is the third reason why religion can never be the guide for human life. The fourth reason why religion cannot be the guide is that we get caught in an intellectual formula or some other formula and say, you do this, everything will be solved. There is no formula that can solve anything. No mental formula that can solve anything. It is something much deeper, right? That is possible to arrive at by true religion. Whether you like it or not, Ramakrishna and Vivekananda might have started with religion, but they moved right up to spirituality. Absolutely at the top, right? So we have had hundreds and thousands of examples all over the world. Fortunately, India has been giving up this, putting up these crops of saints continually coming, who are stressing on the inside rather than the outside. In the middle stage, you need certain ethical formulas. They are useful, but they are not the solution. So I have been repeatedly telling, Anna Hazare is good, but not good enough. We need something much higher than that. Right? But this is at least a better stage than the lower stage where you try to grab power all for oneself, for one's own selfish reason. This is a slightly better stage. But once one has to go beyond, deeper realm of... So true religion is spirituality. And that is embodied. Vedic Rishi. Rishi was one who lived in the world and was yet above the world. It was like the drop of water on a lotus pond leaf. Never attached. Always free. But you have to be like the Rishi. You have to be in the middle of the world. In the very thick of politics and business and economics and army and this and that. And yet be completely free inside. That cannot be done by half an hour puja or a little. It needs total dedication of 24 hours, day and night. Right? You cannot separate that this is spiritual, this is no unspiritual. All life is spiritual. Once I wrote to the mother, that means you don't come to the downstairs nowadays, the students have no contact with you. It will be nice if they listen to your music and your talks. You take care of their spiritual part. We will take care of their mathematics and physics and gymnastics. First question, answer was the same old stupidity. Separating life. Mathematics can be as spiritual as meditation. Gymnastics can be as spiritual as meditation. Right? World is mixed, full of mixture of truth and falsehood. Don't make this separation, spiritual and unspiritual. If I get into politics, you say, oh, unspiritual. If I sit and work in the ashram, you say, oh, spiritual. It is not true at all. The people who are sitting in ashrams and in spiritual missions were utterly unspiritual. The people who are working in the most mundane aspects of the world and they are profoundly spiritual. So this is one of those foolishnesses that we have got into ourselves. We must not separate this. We must remember that we must plunge ourselves wholly. None of us are spiritual. Any of us are trying to be spiritual, which is a very good thing. It's a very gradual process, right? And we need scaffoldings. We need supports. We need help. We need all kinds of things. But a day will come when you need nothing. When you reach there, you have become spiritual. Until then, you are trying to be spiritual. If you don't try, the danger is that you might become religious and get bogged and caught into this framework of outsides and externals. These have value only because they represent the internal. Inside is much more important than the outside. While we are not yet ready for the full inside, let us stress a little bit on the outside, but gradually start moving from the outside to the inside. And then it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes years and years. That is why never judge. When you think that this man is spiritual because he has externally nothing, it might not be true at all. You can be an Ambani and have millions of crores of rupees and be utterly spiritual. Live like a beggar and be thoroughly unspiritual. Outside is not important. Take the trouble of trying to see what is going on inside. This is the whole essence of Swami Vivekananda, of Sri Ramakrishna and the mother. Sri Aurobindo and the mother have shown that politics, economics, society, everything has to be looked at from the spiritual point of view. The whole of the human cycle, the whole of Indian culture, every one of these things have been looked at from the inside. When you know the inside, you can predict the outside. Because it is these forces that are bringing about the changes in the world. In 1914, when he wrote The Ideal of Human Unity, in the 7th chapter of that book, he predicted the Second World War. He said the forces that are actuating the First World War will not be destroyed by a war. Unless those forces change, nothing will change. Always it is very important to learn to look at the inside. But how can you look at the inside? For that you have to develop yourself. If you develop your inside, you will see that all of us, every one of us, have the worst possible things in us and the best possible things in us. Noblest, highest things in us and the most malevolent, malicious, horrible things in us. Don't tell this to others. Look at yourself and see how pathetically impure we are, and then start working on it. As you work on it, not only will you see yourself well, world with different eyes. The whole of Sri Aurobindo is this. Change yourself and the world will change. It does not mean one should be stupid and idle and not doing things. One has to do what has to be done. But one has to be sure that what is being done is coming deep within, not out of any ordinary mental impulse or a lower impulse. And once that is done, you must go ahead full steam, no question of vacillation. This demands a complete, total self-giving of oneself to the divine. I am not using the word Mother and Shobindu here, because each one has got his own aspect of the divine. That divine is inside you. You don't have to go anywhere. It's inside. Find that, have the strength, and keep going. Keep going. Keep going. The process. You'll make mistakes, you'll fall, come back. Again you'll make mistakes, you'll fall, again come back. Step by step, step by step, year after year, sometimes life after life, you will keep going. Essentially, religion is the indispensable starting point. Don't scoff at religion, don't make fun of religion. But Abdul Kalam, he read my book, History of India, A New Approach. He underlined one sentence, he wrote a letter to me. This is the most important sentence. Graduate from religion into spirituality. He underlined that sentence. He sent me a copy of his letter, saying that this is the most important thing that India has to do. Graduate from religion into spirituality. Don't get rid of religion. It is foolish. Get rid of those dark elements, of those crude elements in religion. Reason has a little place there. But the higher elements cannot come through reason. It has a higher element, which will take up the crude faith, the ordinary faith of the individual, raise him little by little, little by little. Once he understands, he'll give up these things. He'll move to the higher thing. And one thing most important is, reject nothing in life. Reject nothing in life. Everything in life can be turned towards spirituality. Gold is always there. It has to be turned into gold. And the third thing, most difficult, if you have taken up the spiritual life, never complain. All the blows that are coming to you, all the pain that you are suffering from, ignominy, shame, insult, etc., etc., the purpose. That purpose is not visible at the moment. You hold on. You will see that the divine has made you 1,000 times nearer to him and has made you 1,000 times stronger also. But the moment you start complaining, you are moving out. It doesn't mean you become passive. It only means that you must act with strength and be absolutely faithful. No complaining, no crying, no acceptance of desire. God is unkind to me. God is always kind to you. Right? We have to take this up. So whatever happens, happens for our own good. Not easy to take it. I can tell you this, both from experience as well. When the blows come, when you think that injustice has come to you, first thing you say is, this God is humbug. God is bogus. He doesn't understand anything. You have to hold. That is where faith comes in. You have to hold on. Right? And the scaffolding is very useful. Little by little, you see that there is a meaning behind it. And after a few years, you say, thank God, this low came. I become much stronger, I become much purer, I become much, much nearer the truth, right? So don't worry, including death, right? If death comes, it is because it was needed. Then now there is no more chance of progress next time. But now you better move on, right? I tell you, it's very easy to say these things. I'm giving you a very good talk, right? Very difficult. If you are faced with all these terrible blows and terrible sorrows, sometimes there is deep depression and sometimes one wonders. I know some friends came and told me, I am wondering what is the hand of the divine in all this. I also have wondered many times, right? But one has to hold on. One has to hold firmly with faith, confidence, and if you hold on, it doesn't take too long to realize that there is something that is happening and might be a new change will come. That is the beginning of spirituality. Meanwhile, let us have this scaffolding, let us hold on to our external beliefs. There is no problem in that. They have their place. But do not allow reason to come into the picture too much. Same time, pull up your reason to the highest capacity. That is extremely important in my opinion. And I think more, the disease of India is thought phobia. Very few Harshamites, I count them on your hands, have read Sri Aurobindo well. They can quote him well. They can repeat like a parrot all that he has said. You ask him a question and he is in trouble. What? And Sri Aurobindo, whether it is literature or sociology or political science, background knowledge is so huge, so enormous, that it is necessary to know all those things. It might take a life, take more than a lifetime. But it is desirable that this part also is developed. When the intellect is developed, like in Europe and India, we question everything. And somewhere in one of his writings, he says we must question the Vedas also. Don't say the Vedas are great. How do you know it is great? Find out what is the truth in it. Go into it. Look into it. Right? Or don't bother. Don't have an opinion. I am told that it is great. Might be it is great. See, now this questioning spirit is very healthy. But at the same time, there has to be behind all this questioning a certain humility as source of knowledge. Don't find them by the hundreds or the thousands. You find one in half a million, one in a million are people who have got that knowledge. Them, you must be utterly humble. Just be absolutely quiet. This is the basic thing that I wanted to say. Religion has its place all over the world. Don't disturb that straight away. Understand the limitation of the religion. Raise it up gradually and move, and everybody is not ready for spirituality. Very slow process. It takes a very long time. And until you are ready, don't pretend. Biggest enemies of spirituality are ego and desire. Talk any amount you like. All of us are full of desires. When the desires drop, like an old leaf in autumn, that day you are ready for spirituality. Till that day you are fighting. I must not have desire, desire comes in. I must not have desire, desire comes in. Right? Nothing will happen. It has to drop. For the dropping might be the satisfaction of desire to a certain extent at least. Right? These are all processes that take their time. Right? So don't demand from everybody that all should become spiritual. Enough if the elite becomes spiritual. By elite, I don't mean the political elite or the intellectual elite, the soul elite. God knows, he might be a poor man, he might be a rich man, he might be a powerful man, he might be a powerless man. But if he is spiritual and he is a powerful man, it will change the country. Whole thing becomes different. So all that we need is, as Mother said, in politics, we must have people, non-party, who belong to God. Nation and God, nothing else. I do only what God wants me to do. I do good for the nation. That is the last thing that you get in politics today. Right? You can get that. Everything will change. The whole country will change. You don't need millions of people there. You need one or two or three. Those three are there at the top. It will have its impact. Slowly, over a period of time, everything will start changing. That is spirituality. Gentlemen, basically this is all that I have to say. I would like to have any amount of questions and whatever you like, however unpleasant it might be. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, excellent deliberation. And I was always in my mind. You have said that reason should be kept aside. You say that being a man of medical science, practically reason, reason-oriented mentality. I don't have anything in my life beyond reason, but I can say that I have will. I believe in reason as the main basis of life. What you have said, that is quite true, that reason has a very important position, but still reason should not be the main factor for attaining the highest. My point is that, you see, despite having a so big turn of the spiritualists in India, like Vivekananda, Ramakrishna, why day by day, people, specifically the young people, second, when the whole world, well, the universe is running on a strict principle of thermodynamic principle, why should we adopt an imaginary approach like this? Or do you want to go into the...
No, ask your question. You don't have to bother. Ask your question.
Okay. Still, I have faith upon that. I am also a man in the line. My question is that, is it possible to gain the highest knowledge even if we are not worth of getting that from the viewpoint of our daily lives and daily lives. The information technology, that is that the second is that India was a very strictly philosophical country in the past.
Not
now.
True.
We don't
said that.
No, India was.
It was not.
maybe that I am wrong in my aspect. But today, I find that that old Indian philosophy that was based on the spiritualism specifically, it's now on the when, on the decrease. What is it?
Well, when you claim that you are a rational human being, I am sorry to say that I do not believe that there is any human being who is a rational human being completely. It's all a pretense. Tell you, when you have to take a decision, hundreds of times when we take a decision on a feeling, something higher, on a what is called a hunch, no human being is completely rational. It is the most difficult thing in the world to be completely rational. I do not believe that you are completely rational. You might want to be rational, but you are not. And not you, nobody is. I have not seen even one human being who has been totally rational. It's the most difficult thing on earth, let me tell you, it is. That is number one. Second thing is that you said that India was a great spiritual country. I do not know what you mean. When we say great spiritual country, it only means that we have had in our country some very great men, a few, who have reached the greatest heights of spirituality. India has been religious right through and will continue to be religious for a long time. Well, people, how many are there? One Ramakrishna, one Vivekananda, one Shri, all illusions, right? We might be striving to be spiritual. It's a very different thing. What is important is that the people who are in the process of making important decisions are spiritual people. If the ashram is a good society, it is simply because not people like me living there, but because there were two persons like Mother and Shrovindo who have cast their stamp. We all idiots are nowhere near that mark. And still it is a good society compared to many other societies. Because there were two people who had a tremendous vision, who had a tremendous... India is great because of its rishis, the knowledge that they had. But otherwise, there is an openness towards that knowledge. There is an acceptance that there is a higher knowledge. That's all. It is not a reality of life, right? And that will take time. It is not a joke. It's a slow evolutionary process. If I've answered your questions, I think that is the hard reality of life. Else has any question?
Today is the first meeting day of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. I just want to read one small. 29th March 1914. Traveling by train from Dhanushkoti, she reached Pondicherry on 29th March. At 3:30 the same afternoon, she met Sri Aurobindo in the upstairs of his house in Rue Francois Martin. At the very first sight, recognition came like a flash of lightning. Sri Aurobindo was verily the Krishna she had met so often in her dreams. There was no need for speech. She sat at Sri Aurobindo's feet, and only her mind was open to him. A great silence now encompassed her with her soul. There was a breaking of past intellectual mode, dissolution of heart years mental, followed by a new crystallization, the image of total identification with the incarnate divine. When she took up her pen after the usual meditation next morning, this was the entry she made. Gradually, the horizon becomes distinct, the path grows clear, and we move towards a greater and greater certitude. It matters little that there are thousands of beings danced in the densest ignorance. He whom we saw yesterday on earth, his presence is enough to prove that a day will come when darkness shall be transformed into light, and shall be indeed established by the builder of this
world. See, it is not faith. She saw the thing. But for you, talk and tell me what the supermind is, what is it, I know it. But the majority of faith that what she has read out is absolutely true. And it will take
Udashi in the Purnataki. Oita hoche nirvaira sarva bhuteshu. Tosa mameti pandava. Nirvaira.
Kote keo parana. That is the problem. Taina, shita aste kore hao. Jogher pathe, sadhanar pathe, eshwa problem, shakkoler arse. আর আমি ইন্টেন্ডিং টু বি এ গুরু অর টু গিভ অ্যাডভাইস, যেটুকু লিটল এক্সপিরিয়েন্স হয়তো ছোট ছোট জিনিস, আসল জিনিস হচ্ছে যে আপনার গুরুর ভেতরে আছে, আপনার আপনার অ্যাকচুয়াল গুরু এখানে আছে। নট নেসেসারি, ইউ সি, আনলেস ইউ ওয়ান্ট টু বি স্পিরিচুয়াল, লুক, ইউ মাস্ট গেট দিস পয়েন্ট ভেরি ক্লিয়ার, ইভ ওয়ান ওয়ান্টস টু বি হ্যাপি, দ্যাট ইউ আই এম হ্যাপি বাই হ্যাভিং সেক্স, ইফ দ্যাট ল্যান্ডস ইউ ইন টু ট্রাবল, দেন ইউ সে দ্যাট ও গড দিস ইজ গিভিং মি পেইন, সো ইউ হ্যাভ টু গো থ্রু দি হোল এক্সপিরিয়েন্স. And when you realize that all these desires currently are giving you happiness, are not giving you happiness, and you still want happiness, might be at that time you will say, yes, I want to be spiritual. Until then, don't bother. The thing that is, one is the hard way. The other is that there is something inside a human being, inspiration, which says, yes, these things give me joy, but that gives me greater joy. Then you go. And that is Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. Vivekananda didn't have to go through the experience. By the age of 21, he was ready, isn't it? So, they are ripe souls. Go through the experience, through the pain, through the suffering, through the ridiculousness of this spirituality should never be made compulsory. Even you want to be spiritual. I can't make somebody else spiritual. This is not absolutely you become spiritual because you would like to take the higher life. You're wise enough. No, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know everything, but I go on doing the wrong thing. Right? There are some people who understand very fast. They are ready. He's not asking about his own personal question. No, it is not his personal problem. I can assure you that. I know him well enough. But the most important thing of the intellect and the reason is, intellect develops and the reason develops. Parent, they will tell you that when he is 4 years old, he accepts everything. When he is 14 years old, he starts asking questions. Essence of reasoning and intellect is to ask questions. And after asking questions, you want to understand why. The essence of all science. We in India, we go on using words and things and, you know, this part of the training is extremely important. Train your mind not to form opinions about everything or anything until you have full knowledge of that something. This area where the worst possible thing takes place is in politics. You will never pass your opinion about computer working, about physics and about chemistry. Politics, you know everything. Why? Because you read the newspaper. Ask you some question about the political system. You are truly rational. You must take utmost care to get all your data, to verify your data, to organize it, and then to come to a certain conclusion. Until then, you are using your reason, but not using it in the right. Very difficult. That's why I told this gentleman that when a man pretends that he is rational, hardly one human being who is rational, semi-rational, or we use our reason to justify my intellectual formulas. Brought up in America, I believe this. So I go on hammering that. I am brought up in one hammering that. The fact is that both are, yes. Nothing wrong in that. Perfect. You are satisfied with that. Why should you bother? There is no need to be spiritual. You are happy. You are not causing harm to anybody. You are a good man and you have no other seeking. Perfectly all right. This is called in India the sattvic man. Very good. But not good enough. If you speak of the higher evolution, should you bother about that? You are happy within your family, you've got a happy family, you've got the money, you've got the means, perfectly happy. Now, if something disturbs you, either in the form of an aspiration or in the form of a suffering, well, then it is up to you to decide. If you are happy with that, perfectly all right, no problem at all. I don't see any reason why you should disturb yourself. Only when you disturb yourself with an aspiration, I must tell you this, right? If you are satisfied with what you have, perfectly all right. If you want something more, then you will find, oh, there is an obstacle within me. Then you will start working on that. And then, that is why the surest way of becoming unhappy is to try to be attained spiritually. For that, because that unhappiness might lead you to a greater happiness. Might, and there is no guarantee. It's a very hard way. If you are lucky, so in the ashram there is something called the sunlit path, where it is not always a hard way, but it is a hard way, let there be no doubt about it. You are right. But yes,
puzzle about spirituality. Then, what he has to do is to find out the reason, to look within himself. No, you have to make the effort. You have to find out the reason and then remove that reason. External reason for unhappiness, but an internal reason for unhappiness. Otherwise, he won't be unhappy. So, it is an internal reason. He has to find out what that internal reason is. That means somewhere he is seeking for something more, which he is not able to get with money and with this and with that and with that. Then he might be ready for spiritual life. Don't be in a hurry to be spiritual. Go through artha, kama, dharma, right? So that's why I'm repeatedly saying that like an old leaf it must drop. As long as you have desires and you want to be spiritual, you are going to have a battle. I don't want to have these desires, but I have got these desires. These desires have to drop. Might be a period of battle is necessary for a short time, but sooner or later, you give it no value. I know I'm not interested at all, but now I'm dying for money. Where is the question of not interested, right? So it is money or power or sex, whatever it is, right? These are the main. Not pretend. That is the one thing where you cannot pretend. Those will be exposed very soon, right? Better not to pretend. And you are an ordinary man, be an ordinary man. Why should you try to be somebody superior or great, right? There is no greatness in this. It is pure happiness. Find out yourself. There are indications. That indication you will have to find out by yourself. Help you, right? Start on the path and the answer will come from within. One thing before you start, I will tell you. That understanding is experience. In the head. Why in India it is said, first step is hearing. Shravanam. Mananam. You think. Dharanam. You carry that thought. Then it becomes nididhyasanam, it becomes an experience. My physics teacher, Jugalda, he told me that when he was a young boy of 15, he was in parallax, right? But nearer and somewhat further. Till I got that experience, I didn't know the meaning. But once I got the experience, it is finished. True of mathematics is physics is 100% true of spirituality. No amount of lectures. Kituda can give hundreds of lectures, nothing will happen. It's over. You don't need anything else compared to that. You see, when she says the age of reason is over, or religion, correct, doesn't mean that it is over next day. It has started. By which, gradually, religion will be replaced by spirituality. Spirituality can be even the seeking for perfection. You can be an atheist and be spiritual. I'll give you an example. 3rd of April, 1956, Russian gymnasts were to come to Pondicherry, perform a gymnastic program. First, they came to Madras, and they realized that they are being sent to an ashram. And an ashram is a place where you believe in God. But we are not going there. We are anti-God, we are communists. So mother had to send somebody. Going there, we don't believe in God, we are not going to perform there. They don't need to believe in God. Do they believe in perfection? Even in material perfection? Yes, mother said, that is God. They came and what a performance. Togoda remembers, what a dazzling performance. And mother welcomed them after their performance and saluted them as soldiers of truth, right? But they don't believe in God. So you see, now that is the new spirituality that has come. Otherwise you think I have to do puja and these rituals and all these things. There is no value at all. And let me tell you, Swamiji, first 6 years, he fought Ramakrishna tooth and nail. I want to know whether this man is genuine or so. Intense meditation. Then by experience he knew, when they were going away, a little doubt came into his mind and he said, he who is Ram and who is Krishna is in this body. And immediately asking a question, he answered my question. It's experience, right? Now that is what we need to have. So when mother says that religion, the age of religion is over, the process has started. But doesn't mean that we reject religion. That is being too smart. We have to graduate, because religion is a starting point. You can't tell people, don't start. Start spiritually, impossible. So grandmother has said that the next stage of evolution will take place. You think it will happen day after tomorrow? Minimum 300 years. Four lives will have passed, right? So don't be in a hurry. We'll go slowly. We do our little bit, our little part, then move. Don't be too smart, because there are very smart. Give up religion, it's all nonsense. It's not true. I've seen it with my own eyes. Once in front of the mother. All religion, but mother, very affectionate with him. Be in a hurry. The very fact that you are asking this question means that you are not yet ready. As soon as you get an experience, it is so genuine, you will say, ah, I know. But you don't get it regularly. If you get it once a month, you are lucky. Very lucky. So, slowly one comes, the veils.
So that we wanted to say, but we couldn't. All our words. He has argued. Why do we need him? Why do we need this? Now we just go on.